You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Everybody needs to be monitoring this in the Gulf and up the East Coast, you know, and watching this very carefully to see what changes happen.
The head of FEMA appearing on CBS talking about the deadly Hurricane Irma, which is roaring toward the United States. Rock Long said it's possible Irma could turn in a different direction than its current path heading toward Florida, striking somewhere in the Gulf or further up the East Coast. The storm's track has it definitely hitting Puerto Rico, where Puerto Rico's governor says infrastructure is a concern.
Infrastructure is a worry. I know that there's still some uncertainty about the storm, but what we know is that it's going to be strong. We hope that it skips off a little bit off the north.
President Trump saying he will revisit DACA if Congress doesn't come up with a solution. The president said on Twitter, phasing out the program over 6 months gives Congress time to, quote, legalize DACA. He also noted it was something Obama couldn't get done. USA Radio News.
Hey guys, your prostate should be the last thing on your mind, but the fact is, the older you get, the more likely you'll have prostate problems, which can affect your everyday life. That's where Prostate Complete by Real Health comes in. Prostate Complete is the result of 20 years of experience as a leader in men's health. The powerful formula in Prostate Complete supports natural prostate function and reduced urinary urges for a better quality of life. Available at Walmart, visit prostateoneperday.com for special offers. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Fall is the best time to feed your lawn. With 10% off Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food at the Home Depot. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard feeds your lawn to build strong, deep grass roots for winter when you need it most. So it'll be lush, green, and beautiful next spring when you want it most. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food. 10% off now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 4th.
Despite claims by countries supporting Syria they only use chemical weapons a couple times, the UN saying, no, that's not the case.
In fact, UN war crimes investigators say Syrian forces have used chemical weapons 33 times, including 7 times between March 1st and July 7th of this year. Of the 33, 27 were attributed to the government of President Bashar al-Assad. The perpetrators were not determined in the 6 other attacks. The Assad regime has repeatedly denied using chemical weapons.
Russia, the biggest backer of the Syrian government, has refused to comment on the statement from the UN. A Philadelphia woman could spend the rest of her life in prison for marrying an ISIS terrorist over Skype. Keona Thomas was arrested by the FBI in April 2015 after she married an ISIS fighter online. She planned to move to Syria and was charged with planning to join a jihadi organization. She's going to be sentenced today in federal court. Her lawyers say Thomas had plans to abandon her 2 children to join her new terrorist husband. USA Radio News.
It's not just a donation.
It's a warm blanket.
It's a bottle of clean water.
It's a roof and a bed.
It's knowing someone cares.
It's feeling safe.
You said today that's better than yesterday.
Every dollar you can spare helps so much more than you can imagine. Please donate now at redcross.org or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to help people affected by Hurricane Harvey. Your help is urgently needed.
The Attorney General of New York has followed through on his threat to file a lawsuit against the Trump administration if they ended the DACA program.
Eric Schneiderman says he'll continue to fight for the tens of thousands of New Yorkers who are in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. This program protects folks from deportation who came to the U.S. illegally as children. And the Attorney General promised he would sue the federal government if the Trump administration does away with it. Well, he'll be joined by immigration advocates and other officials to announce details of this multi-state lawsuit this afternoon.
In an excerpt from Hillary Clinton's new book, What Happened?, she's passing some of the blame on her loss on Bernie Sanders.
In a page that's circulating from her upcoming book, What Happened, Clinton writes that Sanders kept playing a game of one-upsmanship with liberal policies, policies that were unrealistic and strengthened the Sanders supporters' arguments that she wasn't a real progressive. Clinton writes she was advised to hold back on criticizing Sanders' positions too much, lest she alienate his supporters. It's something the former Secretary of State thinks caused lasting damage and made it harder to unite progressives, leading ultimately to a Trump victory.
Facebook is being accused of inflating the number of people who can see their ads. A stock analyst at Pivotal Research Group says Facebook claims don't square with Census Bureau numbers. Facebook claims ads can reach up to 41 million 18 to 24-year-olds and up to 60 million people aged 25 to 35. But according to the Census Bureau, there aren't nearly that many people in either of those age groups in the U.S. USA Radio News.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success. This is America's program that introduces you firsthand to our country's outstanding entrepreneurs, CEOs, and members of the Forbes 400 list, and where they share with you their personal journeys of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. Well, folks, today we are honored to welcome back a good friend who has been with us several times before, and as a matter of fact, when I was starting up in my first year with this radio program in 2002, very green and very nervous, he was willing, and I still don't know why, but he was willing to take a shot and come on the air with me, and he's been a good friend ever since and a good supporter of the show. Jim Perdue is chairman and CEO of one of the most successful family-owned businesses in America today, Perdue Farms, which is also, by the way, recognized as the number one branded premium fresh chicken in the eastern U.S. As always, we enjoy tracking the successes and challenges of Jim and Perdue Farms. Let's welcome our friend Jim Perdue. Jim, welcome back, my friend.
It's good to be here, John.
How have you been?
Been very good.
Yeah?
I absolutely have.
Chicken business flying?
Oh, it's always got its challenges, but it's good to be in the food business. That's something that people are always going to need.
Isn't that the truth? Those are some of the lessons, from the Great Depression. You know, as long as you're in the food business, people have to eat, right?
Absolutely. And that's one reason I think we've always, we've weathered economic downturns before, because of that, I think.
Yeah, well, I guess it's food and funerals, right, Jim?
Food and funerals?
Yeah, you can't stop either one.
But hey, we are glad you're with us, and I also want to thank you for most enjoyable visits in the past, coming down and see Purdue Farms, where it all began, and what you're doing today. And hey, Jim, for the listeners, if there's anybody out there left in America who may not know the brand name Purdue Farms, can you give us an overview, a snapshot, Jim, of Purdue Farms as it exists today, like the big picture? How big, how widespread, the products, number of employees, whatever you want to share.
We're in the both the agribusiness and the poultry business, and we have we're about number three in chicken as far as size in the United States. About 22,000 people work in our company. We're divided into two groups, really the foods group, which includes turkey and chicken, fresh and further processed and frozen products, and then an agribusiness, which is, agribusiness for us is $1.5 billion business, and we have elevators from New York State to Florida, and we have three soybean crushing facilities and oil refinery for the soybean oil. And we also have a port where we ship, over 100 vessels a year to ports around the world of commodity grains. So, and Dad did the agribusiness years and years ago because we wanted to originate as much corn and soybeans on the East Coast as we could, because, of course, the majority are grown in the Midwest, and it's very expensive to ship them to our operations here in the East. So having an origination of soybeans and corn from local farmers was an important part of the business, and it continues to even become more important today because of transportation costs.
Well, not only that, my guess is, as I've studied your operations over the years, it's amazing from generation to generation, from year to year, things continue to change and you adapt, and you take a leadership position in this industry. But I also venture to say, knowing the Purdue family over the years here, Jim, and watching you, that it's also quality control by being vertically integrated, in addition to the expense of transporting the raw goods to process the chickens. It's also controlling each step in the quality of the chain. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And the poultry industry, the chicken industry in general, was vertically integrated early on, back in the 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. And not only that, but we established as an industry contract growing. So the people who raise the chickens are independent farmers. We have the breeding stock, the baby chicks, the feed, and the service, veterinary services that we provide, and then the farmer is paid according to performance. As juxtaposed to, say, the cattle industry, which is totally independent, where you have cattlemen who raise the cattle and then they sell them to a feedlot, which then sells them to a slaughter facility, or the hog industry, which is only about, maybe a third contract growing versus the poultry industry, which is 95% contract. And the importance of that is you can, as you said, control the quality from the breed that you use all the way through the feed that you feed, and the way they're raised, which is very important. Because one of the main things about quality is consistency, that every you can depend on it from one bird to the next.
No question about it. And that is, like, especially as we talk today in this current year, Jim, that is one of the greatest fears of all consumers is quality control. People don't want to get sick, and unfortunately, we're seeing what the other industries are going through, especially vegetables right now. They can't trace the problems of the salmonella, which is another reason why you control, I believe, if I'm incorrect, let me know, from the seed, from the grain, actually to the waste, and then you're even productive with the waste for every step in between.
That's right. And in our industry, I think that is going to be a benefit as we move towards traceability. And there's a big move in this country called COOL, which is country of origin labeling, where, they want to know. And, of course, it's very important, as you understand, in the cattle business, where you may have a calf operation in Canada that sells it to somebody in the U.S., and they want to trace that cow back. With us, it's much easier. We actually, have our breeder stock, we have our eggs, our hatcheries, so we can trace back pretty quickly where things are.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And you also, now you're selling to, what, more than 50 countries around the globe now, Jim?
Yes, we sell about 18% of our you know, volume to international customers around the world. And it's not only things that people aren't interested in eating here as much, for example, chicken feet and turkey tails and dark meat, which is more of a international has value internationally,
sure.
But also even starting to produce products for specific customers in specific countries like Japan, or that want a very specific size, for example, on a fresh chicken leg. So we have offices in Shanghai and Hong Kong, and we have a joint venture in Russia. So being global is very critical in this industry now. It's hard to not have an international business and survive.
I would say, do you have any particular challenges over there? Or do you have extra tight control in places like China or in that part of the world? Because I believe that our cleanliness and our quality standards are much higher than the rest of the world.
U.S. chicken has a very favorable imagery, you know, amongst, for example, the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually... We do sell rotisserie chickens, for example, in Shanghai, and we promote the Purdue name in there, and that it's a U.S. Brand.
I love it.
So it has enhanced the products. And, you know, the danger or the thing that is an issue internationally is, you know, for example, a few years ago when we had avian influenza, and some countries actually almost, you know, their chicken consumption almost went to zero. That certainly impacted our international business, and that can cause problems. And, of course, that can come at any time because you're dependent upon the governments and of these other countries to control, you know, that particular issue.
And that is a challenge, I know. When I was moderating the summit in 2007 at the Economic Summit at the Wharton School, one of the chief topics we talked about was ethical relativism from country to country, and that can be a challenge. But... you know, that's your advantage. Their loss is your advantage because that brands you as having the top quality. And by the way, when we get back, Jim, I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the first that you, your family, Purdue Farms has done. Folks, talk about innovation and leadership. You're going to get some wisdom and some anecdotes today that the Purdues have done to actually lead the industry, not only in America, but many countries around the world. Our guest today is Jim Purdue, the chairman and CEO of Purdue Farms, doing several billion. Our last count was close to $4 billion. We'll be back with more wisdom from Jim Purdue right after this.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. As summer wraps up, whether you're planning one more road trip, a backyard barbecue, or shopping for back to school, it pays to know all of your opportunities to earn rewards. Bank of America Preferred Rewards Executive Kevin Condon recommends layering your rewards programs to maximize earning opportunities.
Many grocery stores and gas stations have their own rewards programs. Earn even more rewards by paying with a credit card like Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards, which offers 3% cash back on gas purchases and 2% cash back at grocery stores and wholesale clubs.
Another tip from Condon is to take advantage of banking rewards programs to further boost credit card rewards.
Bank of America Preferred Rewards offers perks such as credit card cashback bonuses of up to 75%, no-fee ATM transactions, and waived fees on everyday banking services. Since Preferred Rewards launched in 2014, Bank of America customers have earned over $500 million in cashback and points bonuses.
For more information, visit www.bankofamerica.com/preferred-rewards.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at 100inchamber.org.
5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. I'll tell you, folks, I've been around the country to about a half a dozen universities who are using our interviews now as teaching materials and intro to entrepreneurship. One of the questions I'm commonly asked is, what are the secrets of the Legends of Success? And I will tell you that one of the greatest secrets, or one of the obvious attributes, they always surround themselves with the brightest and most successful people they can find. And I try to share with you that that is the value of listening to the show each and every week. You cannot find more successful or brighter people than our legends, and we're so honored to have them. Today we have Jim Perdue, the chairman and CEO of Perdue Farms. Jim, before we took a break, we're talking about some of Perdue's firsts. You know, to be a leader and define yourself as a leader, you obviously have to have some firsts in the industry. Take the Perdue name. Give us a couple for Perdue Farms, a couple of absolute firsts that you and the family have introduced to the industry.
We started processing where we controlled it to the final end of the vertical integration, or to the package and the product, in 1968. Mm-hmm. And then, Dad, of course, started advertising in 1970, and that in itself was somewhat of a first, certainly in our industry, where the spokesperson was the owner. And the CEO, basically, of the company. So, and he actually had quite a long running. He did it, I think, for about 30-some years, which I think is probably one of the longest-running individual representing his product in America. But, he started a lot of special things. For example, a money-back guarantee. That was early on in the year 1971 or 1972. Not only that, but had an 800 letter writing, and he put an advertisement out one time, a TV advertising. He said, tell me what I'm doing wrong. Basically, I can take it. give me the things. I can't do anything about what's good. Tell me what's bad so I can fix them.
Sure.
And he got we depend actually to this day on about 3,000 to 4,000 hits a month, mostly on the internet or 800 numbers. Versus letter writing, but that is still, I think, a fundamental part of our company is finding out what's wrong by people who have issues. And hopefully we also get calls about what's good, and we do get some calls on that too. But
sure.
But also, the USDA Grade A Shield to this day, we still put that on most all of our products, which is not necessarily the practice in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that just means that there's a certain number of inspections that a USDA grader does in the plant. And then, of course, we go beyond that with about 22 additional steps beyond the Grade A label. Nutritional labeling. We were the first to put nutritional labeling on our chicken. Our fresh chicken. Mm-hmm. And of course, today, nutritional labeling has become a critical part of the consumer's decision-making process, when they're choosing a product. And also more recently, we have wellness centers, we call them, at all of our processing facilities, basically now, and cooking facilities. And what a wellness center is, it's a facility where doctors in the community come into that facility. It's actually a building that's attached to the plant. The doctors from the community come in. The people in the plant, the associates make appointments, basically, to see a specific type of doctor, whether it's an OBGYN or a foot doctor or a general practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
We pay them while they're seeing the doctor. So they come off the line, they're working, and while they're waiting and while they're seeing the doctor, they're being paid. And then there's, of course, other things that go beyond that, the prescription programs and that sort of thing. But what it's done is it's reduced our overall health cost in the sense that we're about flat or a very mild increase in health costs compared to a 15 to 20% industry-wide increase. And actually, we got recognized by the Health and Human Services, the United States, for a large company award 2 years ago for health based on the Wellness Center and the other programs there.
How long does it take when you're introducing things like this that are steps in leadership? How long does it take before your competitors respond and try to replicate what you do?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think we've had more response from probably the food companies, consumer packaged good companies, than actually the poultry industry itself on the Wellness Center. Mm-hmm. And so our medical doctor, who we have on staff full-time, who's started their program, is really in hot demand to talk to different companies, you know, to put in similar programs. And you know, and it's the kind of thing where you're not going to see benefits the first 10 years.
No, that's right.
Where you really start to see the benefit is when you start to avoid chronic diseases like diabetes, you know, high blood pressure, which leads to problems, premature babies, of course, which lead to problems. And because we're self-insured, it's a win-win. It's better for the associate, and, of course, it saves us money if we can prevent some of these chronic diseases from developing into major issues.
Sure. Now, self-insured, are you part of like a captive offshore, or are you your own self-insured?
We're self-insured.
You're not part of a group.
Not a captive offshore, but I'm not sure what that is, but we're self-insured here in the U.S. So we pay whatever somebody happens to somebody, we pay the cost of it.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, you know, and that just shows because self-insured, the only folks that can really be self-insured successfully are those that drive the claims down. And in turn, those are the ones who are treating their employees properly or better to have less claims. So it's a positive cycle, I would guess. But a couple of the other firsts that you've introduced and your family has, Jim, the Purdue name was really the very first name to ever go on a chicken. I mean, before that, it was just chicken for sale. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yeah, it was a commodity product, just like an orange or a peach. And what Dad did is he identified basically about, believe it or not, 25 things on a whole chicken that can separate you from the competition. Mm. And he said, we're going to be the best on those 25 items. And those items could be things like bruises, they could be feathers, you know, they could be scrapes, they could be tears in the skin, it could be color. All those things we worked hard on to be the best because we were asking more money for our product, and there had to be something there that was worth the extra 5 cents a pound, for example, or 10 cents a pound that a consumer was paying.
Sure. Now, and I understand, folks, you'll find this interesting, and I remember you telling me this before, Jim. Tell the folks how he came up with those 25 points. He went on a little road tour for a while, didn't he?
He did, yeah. When we bought this plant in 1968, it took only about 6 months to renovate it and for us to start processing chickens. And in that 6 months, he went to New York City, and he talked to the experts. And who were the experts in New York City? They were butcher shop people, because he understood that they were the best purveyors of quality in meats. And so he went to butcher shops and said, you know, basically, of course, these would be also potential customers. And he said, what is it you want? And it wasn't rocket science. I mean, it was accurate weights, good ice coverage, you know, no feathers, you know, just basics. And so Dad, you know, Dad was one of the people in the In Search of Excellence by Tom Peters.
Sure.
And the reason he was in there was specifically for that, because back in the 1970s, it was very unusual to go to the customer and say, "What do you want?" Now, today, you know, you can't be in business if you don't do that. But back then, it was somewhat unique. And what he understood is if he delivered on those things, mm-hmm. the customers would pay him a premium.
And he was a consummate marketer, wasn't he? He never gave up, always in the limelight. I mean, to put a brand on, folks, you know, Purdue is such a great example here in the history. You don't just put your name on it. You get out there and you walk the walk. Am I right, Jim? He did everything he could.
Oh, absolutely. He spent, I'd say, 80% to 90% of his time in the market, going from supermarket to supermarket, and he loved to be in an office of a buyer, you know, like at a Giant or somebody, and they say, look, Frank, you got a problem with this and this and this, and he'd say, fine, you got a phone, and of course, there weren't any cell phones back then, so he'd pick up the phone, and he'd call down to the plant, and he wouldn't even talk to the plant manager. He would talk to the guy in the department where that particular issue you know, was going on, and he'd say, what is going on? You know, and part of it was a demonstration to the customer, because, you know, it's frustrating as a consumer today. how do you get action, you know, when something's wrong?
You're right, and there's too much of that crap going on, Jim.
Yeah, and so here's the owner calling down, and you really feel comfortable it's going to be fixed, and that's very reassuring to a consumer. And, of course, the second thing is it did get fixed. You know, my argument to him was when I was a plant manager, he wouldn't call me. He'd call my department guy, and I'd say, you know, Dad, you're going to fix that for a day or two, but if you call me, I'll fix it for good, And it was always a wonderful argument that he and I would have is, who do you call to fix it?
I love it. And, folks, what we're hearing from Jim Perdue is exactly what we first really articulated, got from Jack Welch a couple of years ago when he was first on the show. And I said to Jack when I visited him, or I asked him in Boston, Jack, what is the most important single attribute if you could only pick one for success? And he said, differentiation. What Jim Perdue, what Frank Perdue, what the Perdue Farms, the Perdue family has done, and what you must continue to do in your own business if you want to be a leader like the Perdues and all the other legends we've had on the show, you must differentiate compared to your competitors and contrast to them. When we get back, we'll find out more differentiators, more leadership roles, and what's new at Perdue Farms with Jim Perdue. I'm John Resnick, and you're listening to Legends of Success.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The track now has a forecasted direct impact of Florida Keys on Sunday as a devastating major hurricane.
Florida Governor Rick Scott, in an address to his state's residents about approaching major Hurricane Irma. Irma now has sustained winds of 185 miles an hour. Officials with the National Hurricane Center say the storm could be catastrophic if it makes landfall in Florida. Governor Scott telling people to evacuate, but says Irma's unknown future track makes it hard for people to know where to go.
They're telling people, hey, you're going to have to evacuate. Right? It's hard to tell people exactly where to go until we know exactly where this thing's going to go. But we know the Keys are doing the right thing because it takes so long to evacuate there because you just have one way to get out.
House Speaker Paul Ryan praising President Trump for putting an end to DACA. Ryan says it's a serious issue that needs to be dealt with. He thinks there's compromise that can be found in Congress. USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not from government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and for their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
We're back on Legends of Success, visiting our friend Jim Perdue. I think this is probably the third, fourth time Jim's been on. And what we enjoy most of every time Jim Perdue comes back is we're following the growth, innovation, and leadership skills. You can never get enough in 1 hour. It just can't be done. Before we took a break, we're talking about differentiators. And Jack Welch really drilled that into my brain when I first met him, spoke with him, and have interviewed him. And he said that is the most important attribute, if you can only pick one, aside from the other obvious things, integrity and client above self, those things. But the differentiator of being different is the most important attribute in success. So we talked about a couple first from the Perdue family. Another one I wanted to bring up, Jim, is I believe your chickens really were the first to appear on the shelf that were yellow. Now all the rest were white. Am I off base or do I remember something like that?
Well, actually, you know, the word differentiator is interesting, and Dad used the term unique selling proposition. And today in the company, if you use the word US, or the letters USP, everybody knows exactly what that is, and that's unique selling propositions, and which is differentiators. Mm-hmm. And you're right, yellow was something that he wanted to push. Actually, yellow chickens originated in Maine. There was a chicken called the Lipkin, I think it was, chicken, and there was a Penobscot roaster out of Maine, mm-hmm. out of Penobscot, Maine, and both of them were yellow-skinned, which is actually the natural color of a chicken, is yellow. And the reason is, if they eat corn, they'll get a little bit of yellow from the xanthophyll in the corn. And as opposed to a turkey, I don't care how much corn you feed it, it can't turn yellow. So obviously, genetically, it's destined to be white. A chicken can turn yellow if it's given the diet that it originally probably ate. We give it marigold flour from Mexico, which has more xanthophyll, and it heightens the bloom and heightens the yellow. And that became a differentiator. The equivalent to me is a salmon. You know, and John, I think I've told you before, a salmon, the natural color you expect on your plate in the restaurant is pink.
Sure.
But salmon are white meat if you don't give them one component, and that's shrimp meal. Unless they get shrimp meal, which has a red pigment called astaxanthin, they won't turn pink. So if they eat the diet that they naturally eat when they're out in the ocean, which is small copepods and other shrimp, they'll naturally turn the color that God gave them the ability to turn. And so that's my argument for yellow being the natural color. People who want a white chicken can't feed them corn. They've got to feed them wheat or sorghum or milo, which has no xanthophyll.
Yeah,
so they have to feed them a diet that keeps them away from the natural yellow color. But it was a differentiator, and he used that as a way to tell a Purdue chicken. Not that it's not healthier. It's just within the Purdue world of chickens, if you see a white one, there's something wrong with it because it didn't absorb that xanthophyll.
Amazing. I always thought you must have been shoving dandelions in them or something.
No marigold.
Marigold. All right. Whatever. It works though, you know. And talk about differentiator. If we start going back and we talk about how your father, Frank Purdue, an absolute icon in this industry, actually in America, we look back at his attributes. Originally, we've got Purdue Farms, folks, if you're wondering, was founded by Jim Purdue's grandfather, Arthur, back in 1920. I think he hired his first employee in 1930, Jim. And were there any unique attributes or founding principles that Arthur had that you absolutely kept from generation to generation, or have they changed?
No, absolutely. You know, we have four values that we talk day in and day out with our associates, and that's quality, integrity, trust, and teamwork. And the first three, quality, integrity, and trust, all originated with my grandfather, Arthur Purdue, for sure. He was as honest as the day is long, and you know, a very religious person, and the whole idea of quality, he would always go out and find, and of course, he was in the egg business initially, not the meat business, but the egg business. And so he would go out and try to find the best hens, and he'd go to Oregon, Maine, wherever it was, that he could get the best quality baby chicks that would produce the eggs that he thought were the best eggs at the time. And the other thing he did was instill frugal. He was extremely frugal in his dealings. The stories of him cutting a square out of his old boots and using those as hinges on the doors in the chicken houses are examples that back in the 20s and 30s, you know, during the Depression, before and after the Depression, you know, you had to operate that way in order to survive. And also hard work. I mean, Dad always, and you know, talked about how Arthur Purdue would be up at, you know, 4:35 o'clock to start cleaning the slats underneath the hen houses, and of course he grew up in the same way, and that's why he was such a hard worker. So the values that original founder has, you know, are very, very important to a company. You may change your strategies, you may change your vision, your mission, but you don't change your values. They have to be consistent, you know, throughout.
Sure. And I admire you for that. I didn't know, because sometimes people say, well, things evolve over time, but your bedrock principles should never be shaken. Am I correct?
Absolutely. And today, to this day, integrity to me in the company means that if we tell a customer we can do something, then we've got to do it. And that means if he orders a 1,000 boxes and we told him we can get him 1,000 boxes by tomorrow, we've got to do it. And that may mean we have to run a plant on an extra day or whatever we have to do. But we told him we'd do that, and we have to come through.
Well, and I'll tell you, in this day and age, I'm not a pessimist, or I wouldn't have this program, Jim, as you know. And you and I have known each other for a number of years. But it is, in a realistic, a sobering note, it's sad to see such a lack of customer service these days. It just offends me and everybody else out there that has to put up with it. And, you know, folks, all I can say is that when that happens out there, You must differentiate and contrast and be the antithesis of that lack of caring. Am I right, Jim? It's just a shame. I don't know why it's slipping. What do you think it is?
You know, I don't know if it's cost, short-term thinking, or what, but you're right. I mean, I think that that's something that, to us, it's a bedrock. It not only permeates the organization, but people's bonuses are dependent upon service. And so people watch it very closely for that reason. And not to, you know, we have, Walmart's a very big customer, and, you know, we were the supplier of the year this year at Walmart. And
wow.
It doesn't say that, it just says that, you know, to get that award there was a prestigious award because, you know, they're very, very tough in what they demand of their suppliers. And so, you know, it's something that we try to aspire to day in and day out.
And that's a brass ring because everyone knows Walmart is tough. Jim, when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about how you and your father worked together. And, folks, Frank Perdue is an absolute icon. Let's find out how this father and son team worked. Did they get along? Did they not get along? Let's see what else we can learn about the dynamics of a successful family business. I'm John Resnick. We're on with Jim Perdue today, and this is Legends of Success.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
The most original success stories in America with our country's greatest entrepreneurs, billionaires, and acclaimed individuals. They are the legends of success. Once again, here's your host, John Resnick.
Jim Perdue is our guest today. We're so happy to have him back. Jim's been with us almost every year since we started the program. Before you actually joined Perdue Farms, you made a decision for whatever reason to say, I'm not going in the family business. I'm going elsewhere first. And I wanted you to share with me how that decision was made. And was it, on a personal side, was it a healthy decision for you to go elsewhere before you work in the family business?
Yeah, actually, basically just came out of college and went right to work in the business just because that was the easiest thing to do, I think. And then I'd worked in there in summer, so it just made sense. But it became very evident to me in the first 6 months that I wasn't very happy. And, you know, the main reason is, at the age of 22, I didn't have a lot of self-confidence, which a lot of, I think, people that age suffer from, because you're not born with it. I think you develop it. And so the only thing I knew for sure is I wanted to get out. And the only other interest I had was aquaculture, growing animals for food and in the sea. And so I left and got a master's degree in marine biology, and then worked in an oyster hatchery for a year, and then went to and got a PhD in fisheries at the University of Seattle, where they work a lot with salmon and oysters and clams and different things. So I didn't do it as a I did it permanently, and was my original thought. But after I was out in Seattle, I think I felt like I was be more challenged. I think working in the business, so I decided to come back into the business at that point in 1983, and don't regret the decision at all to come back, because by then I think I'd had a few successes and felt comfortable, and it seemed like the right thing. And to this day, we encourage the next generation, which I said there were 12 G4s, to work outside the business for 3 to 5 years, and then if they have an interest, to consider it at that time, because I think it's important for them to go find out a little bit about themselves before they, come to work in the business. I have two boys and a girl, the boys are out working other places. One's in L.A. and one's up in New York City, and my daughter's teaching. So, and I hope they come back, but if they do, I think they'll be better prepared by doing it that way.
I'm John Resnick, and you're listening to Legends of Success.
Today, we're talking about your budget and budget blinds.
People get so hung up on that word budget.
Listen, everybody's got a budget. Budget Blinds is all about getting the window coverings you really want at a price that fits your budget.
Right. They have exclusive designer styles, hundreds of choices.
And Budget Blinds gives you expert service. None of that do-it-yourself. The pros bring the showroom to you, then do it all. Measure and install.
What a relief.
That's style and service for every budget.
And right now, during their 25th anniversary celebration, it's the biggest sale of the year, with special upgrades and offers.
Explain the free upgrades, like the invisible tilt for shutters.
Make shutters look cleaner, more contemporary. Same with the free cordless upgrade on honeycomb shades. No cords. Look sleek and uncluttered.
I like that. Just call this number. It's easy to remember. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS.
855, then the name, Budget Blinds. Or go online.
BudgetBlinds.com.
Remember, budget means getting custom window coverings at a price that fits your budget. And remember, 855-BUDGET-BLINDS.
Offer good on selected products at participating independently owned and operated franchises only. Some restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Now, back to the Legends of Success. Once again, here's John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success, visiting our friend Jim Perdue. Now, when you originally left, I mean, your father, Frank, it takes, you know, the old slogan, it takes a tough man to make a tender chicken. He was known as being pretty strong-willed. I'll bet he must not have been very happy when you left.
No, it was a very emotional meeting, I will say that. And but he was also a very good salesman. He was, and he didn't stop selling, you know, for the next 8 to 9 years. So and when he knew I was getting close to finishing up out in Seattle, you know, the sales calls increased. But you know, I he's also a very, very smart man, and had a lot of good points. And at that point, I was. My only other choice was to teach in the university. I didn't definitely want to teach in the university out there, so I came back in the business.
How was Frank to work with? I mean, he was a huge icon. What was it like with father and son? Was he a good mentor? Was he intimidating?
You know, I'm going to tell you, he was a terrible mentor.
Really?
And I, you know, you wouldn't think so, but the problem is he was such a his management style, you know, was such that. If you came to him for some advice, which is what a mentor does, gives advice, he would say, well, this is what you need to do. And he would tell you, you know, number one, number two, number three, number four, this is what you need to do. You go, okay. Well, before you got back to your office, there'd be a memo saying, where are you at on number one, two, three, and four?
Oh, jeez.
So it wasn't only, this is what you should do, but you will do that, and I'm gonna monitor it until you do all four things. So what you learn real quick is not to go ask for another piece of advice, because otherwise, you know, you'll be spending your whole life doing that. So it's an interesting dichotomy, you know, that somebody as experienced as he was, people weren't always that gung-ho to go to him for advice, and he never could understand that. But I think it's just part of his management style. Whereas good mentors, you know, they say, okay, here's your problem. You know, it's your decision, but you can think about these four things,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then good luck on your decision. Why don't you let me know what you decide when you finish, you know?
Sure.
So it's an interesting thing about management and mentoring.
I'll bet you, I'm willing to bet you're a very good mentor because you try to make up for what you did not receive.
I'm a good mentor because I'm not as smart as he was. I wouldn't know what the one, two, three, four to tell you to do. So I can suggest things to somebody.
Oh, sure.
And,
yeah,
you know, but it's true. I do, you know, it's funny. When we transitioned in the company, Dad was the CEO, and I became CEO, and he became what he called the COH. And you know what COH is?
No, I have no idea.
Chief of Harassment. That was his. He entitled himself as the COH of the company.
Oh, I love it.
But you know, when I came in and I had a president who was our chief financial officer at the time, I'll never forget. We had one of the managers come in and say, "Look, I have this issue. What should I do?" And I remember Pelham Lawrence was the president at the time. He said, "You know, it beats the heck out of me. But all I can tell you is, you're getting paid enough money. Why don't you go out and make it a good decision by talking to your people, and come up with a good decision and come back and tell me what it is.
Excellent.
And that's that was a different philosophy in the company because, truthfully, Dad made basically all the decisions. That's why he worked 18 hours a day, right. But he took all the risk.
What are your greatest challenges, Jim, in the next 3 to 5 years with Purdue Farms?
Well, right now, you know, the whole industry is really upside down, mainly because of corn and soybean meal costs. Mm-hmm. And it's the number one cost in our industry. You know, with automobiles, it may be metal or labor. You know, each industry has its own primary cost. Our primary cost, two-thirds of the cost of a live chicken is feed. So we live and die by corn and soybean meal. And with ethanol, you know, going into fuel, it's driven the price of corn from $2 a bushel to $8 a bushel when you include the basis, you know, as opposed to just 1 year ago. And for us, that's an increase in cost of $350 million just in corn and in feed alone. So it's something that the whole industry is wrestling with, and it's something we're going to have to figure out a solution to long term, which means raising prices of the finished products, you know, trying to impact our costs. You know, it's a dilemma. It's truly a paradigm shift in our industry.
Any advice you have for young entrepreneurs and students that are just getting ready to graduate and go out and attack that business world? What's the best piece of advice you can give them, Jim?
Don't want to be president the second year. The first few years are important times to learn. And Dad always said, you know, try to work for a company that's hungry, you know, one that's growing dramatically, because that's where the real challenges, you know, will be, and where you'll probably learn more about your abilities. You know, but take the time in the early parts of your working career to learn. And you know, when it's like when I became prematurely, truthfully, from my experience, you know, the CEO of the company, mm-hmm. there's a lot more pressure. You know, there's a lot I would love to have learned before I got there that I had to go back and fill in the blanks as best I could. And so, you know, there's a time to learn and a time to enjoy, you know, the promotions that come with that and with the experience.
Sure, absolutely.
And the second thing, like I said, is seek out, you know, companies or businesses that are growing, are dynamic, that have exciting leaders, you know, because that's where you'll probably get the most potential out of yourself.
Absolutely. And what you're saying basically is if you had three job offers and one paid the lowest but had the greatest potential and the greatest future, forget the paycheck when you first joined. That is not important in the beginning. Yeah, I know you're hungry out there and I know you got to pay your bills, but at the end, stick with that company that has integrity, great values, and great upward mobility. Right, Jim?
Absolutely. In other words, think long term,
yes.
Not short term.
Very.
Don't go for the short term highest salary. You're right. You know, think about long term. The salary will come, but you'll be a much better business person as a result.
Good. We wish you the best, Jim. I also want to thank you so much for your friendship and your support of our program over the years.
Absolutely, and you got a great program that communicates a lot of good information to folks, John. Keep it up.
I also want to thank our team at Legends of Success, but also Julie DeYoung and Sherry Mahalik from Purdue Farms for assisting me in setting up Jim's interview because he's such a busy guy, it's hard to track him down anymore. Michael Parks, and of course, each and every week, the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick. And most important, folks, thank you for tuning in every week. I sure hope we're inspiring your lives and making a difference. You've been listening to Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. As summer wraps up, whether you're planning one more road trip, a backyard barbecue, or shopping for back to school, it pays to know all of your opportunities to earn rewards. Bank of America Preferred Rewards Executive Kevin Condon recommends layering your rewards programs to maximize earning opportunities.
Many grocery stores and gas stations have their own rewards programs. Earn even